This evening marks our final sermon on the sacrament of holy baptism. And we heard the reading this evening from Matthew chapter 3, beginning with verse 13, about Jesus coming to John to be baptized. Now, as Jesus comes out to John to be baptized, there had been thousands of people coming out to him. In fact, we read that Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him that they would be baptized by him in the River Jordan. First, they'd confess their sins, and then he would give them the plunge one by one until Jesus showed up and had a whole baptismal line that had been going on come to a screeching halt. And John says, nope, not going to baptize you. In fact, you should be baptizing me. Now, if you think of it from John's perspective, it really kind of does make a little bit of sense. After all, he was baptizing for the forgiveness of sins. Do you see a problem with Jesus? He don't have any sins. And so therefore, why would you take the time to baptize Jesus when there is no need for him to receive forgiveness of sins? Now, everyone else that was there needed it. In fact, baptism was God's gift to them to wash that sin away and usher them into the family of God. But for Jesus, no such baptism was necessary. He was the only one who could live without the gift of holy baptism. He was the only one who was sinless. But, and that's a big but, Jesus went down into the water to be baptized, as we heard in the text, to fulfill all righteousness. But it was like John looked at the water of the Jordan. After thousands of people had been baptized in it, he saw that it was teeming with the sins of all mankind, and he wanted to make sure that Jesus Christ never came anywhere near that putrid water, filled with the sin-polluted and iniquity-stained water that was there. Jesus, simply stay away. Where he would give himself up for death, Jesus Christ ultimately would go to the cross of Calvary. Ultimately, Jesus Christ would be baptized in that river, but in that water teemed the sins of Adam and Eve. The sins of everyone had gone before. In fact, the reality is every one of us who has inherited original sin from our parents also, our sins would be found there. See, we have all, in fact, that Jesus, we know he had no sin, while we, each and every one of us, are full of it. In fact, with every thought, every word, and every deed, we are indeed sinful. And the fact of the matter is you and I need to get rid of this stuff sooner rather than later, because we can't live with it. Luther wrote these words: Christ is baptized not in order to be made righteous, but as an example, so to speak, for us, in order that he may precede us and we may follow his example and also be baptized. So therefore, when Jesus was baptized, he was also baptized passively. Yet he received baptism, and the immediate announcement from heaven was, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased," and he did it all to fulfill all righteousness, and he did it for you and for me. But I think it also should be noted that Jesus didn't give his heart to himself in the waters of holy baptism any more than you can give your heart to Jesus in your baptism. In fact, Jesus gave himself to you in holy baptism. Jesus took off his robe of perfect righteousness and he placed it upon you who are covered with all of your sins, and he did it because of his great love for you and his love for me. Well, from the Jordan River, Jesus made a beeline for the hill called Calvary. Still dripping wet with the sins of the world, he went there to undergo the baptism of crucifixion. And there he gave his life as a sacrifice. And at his death, all of your sins were destroyed. Your sin died with Jesus. Oh yes, you do still live in sin in your body, but you haven't stopped sinning. I realize that. But when you die, ultimately it will all be eliminated because Christ has paid the price. In fact, Scripture says these words: "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ." But because Christ rose from the dead on that first Easter morning, his resurrection confirms the defeat of sin, death, and the devil once and for all. And once again, he's done it for you. And he gave a very simple way for our victory over sin, death, and the devil that is applied for you. It's through the water of your baptism. Every day, where it's a reminder that I'm forgiven. Regardless of what somebody else thinks about me, regardless of what somebody else says about me, I know that my sins are forgiven. But now we find out how baptism affects us. Luther says these words, "Baptism and death are interchangeable terms in Scripture." Did you get that? Baptism and death are interchangeable statements within the Holy Writ. And it seems a little bit odd to say, well, come up front to the font and be put to death. Or, bring your baby here so I can kill them. It doesn't seem very appealing, does it? In fact, it's a little uncomfortable to think, come to the font and be crucified. Or, bring your child up to the font so I can crucify them for you. It's all just a little bit awkward. But that's the radical nature of holy baptism. Plus, don't worry, because what is really crucified and put to death is the old Adam that dwells within them and within you and me and everyone who receives baptism. Therefore, you and I are made to be a new creation in Christ as we go through the waters of holy baptism. Now, baptism is something that is done to us and not something that we do. It's always passive. In fact, Luther said these words, "For to be baptized in the name of God is to be baptized not by men, but by God himself. Therefore, although it is performed by human hands, it is nevertheless truly God's own work. Therefore, it is all gift from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit." Amen. Amen.